So those of you in the back, if you can't hear me, we've tried to readjust the mics in all seriousness. So Sunday is for the New York Times. Each week is an adventure. Everybody has their favorite section. For me, I start with the front section and then often go to sports. Always love the Sunday Review. And I'll skip many different sections, but the section I always read is Sunday Styles. Now, I always start at the back. Now, hopefully a few of you now will be thinking about what's in the back of Sunday Styles, and of course, you know, it's the matrimonials. It is really a joyous section, and I just love to see all the stories of people connecting and of the love. It's also really a special section for rabbis. It's kind of like the box scores. Who do you know that did a wedding somewhere this past week? So if you think of all the people that are featured in a wedding, and there's the wedding planner, there's the band, but for a Jewish wedding, we have a unique cast of characters. So let's see how many of them you know. There's the Shadchan. Anybody know besides Rabbi Rappaport? Yes, it is the matchmaker. Let's do matchmaker. Okay. We have the Chazan, not a TBS. The Chazan is the cantor. We have the Machatanim. In-laws, that one everybody knows. Now here's my favorite, it's the Badchan. Anybody ever hear of Badchan? The Badchan is not the guy holding up the chuppah poles, but the Badchan is the jester. The Badchan is the jester. Yes, in Jewish tradition, there's a jester at Jewish weddings because everything, every mitzvah that we think of, a wedding is unique. Rosh Hashanah has candles, as the shofar, Shabbat has candles, but for a wedding, the mitzvah is to celebrate with the bride and groom, to be happy to celebrate with bride and groom. Now, celebrating, smiling, seems like an unusual religious obligation. And you could think, so where does it all come from? But let's take a look at this unique mitzvah, the mitzvah to smile, to celebrate in Judaism. So my first teacher about this was Cantor Avraham. Did you have Cantor Avraham when you were at HUC in Israel? Cantor Avraham was this wonderful, wonderful man, just so warm. And when he chanted Torah, oh, was it beautiful. He did not have a very good command of English. And I was in Kita Aleph, the level with the least Hebrew competence. And so we were working on Pirkei Avot, Wisdom of Our Ancestors. And we came across this text, chapter 1, number 15. The text said, Shammai said, make your study of Torah a fixed habit. That we got pretty easily. Then it said, say little, do much. Okay, that was clear. But the next phrase was hard to understand. It said, greet every person with a Kabbalat Panim. Now, we knew Kabbalat Shabbat, but what was Kabbalat Panim? And you could see Cantor Avraham was getting frustrated until this light bulb went off. A glimmer came to his eyes. He broke into a huge smile, and he said, Kabbalat Panim. Greet everyone with a Kabbalat Panim, with a radiant, with a smile upon your face. It's a story, but it's much more, that a smile affirms our mutual humanity, and a smile affirms the spark of divinity in each person. Here's another wonderful example with tzedakah. The Talmud Rabbi Isaac said, one who gives a peruta, which is the smallest coin, receives six blessings. One who speaks a word of cheer to another receives 11 blessings. The commentary says, when we speak cheerfully, we demonstrate that we're glad that the other person's in the world. This is one of the most precious gifts of love we can give to another human being. It's a life-giving lift, that gift that lifts the spirits of others. Through a warm smile on our face, the other recognizes that we appreciate. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was the founder of the Musar movement, David will be offering a Musar class later in the year, have to get in the plug. And so he saw a student walk and his face was all scrunched up. And Rabbi Yisrael said to him, so what are you doing? And he said, I'm doing teshuva. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter replied back, if you're doing teshuva, why should I suffer? Teshuva, notwithstanding, that it's not at another's expense. It still includes greeting another with a radiant countenance. In Eastern religion and meditation and yoga, my teacher Sylvia Borstein talked about the very famous Vietnamese teacher Thich Nhat Hanh. He was saying, when I see someone smile, I know immediately that he or she is dwelling in awareness. Our smile will bring happiness to us and those around us. Even if we spend a lot of money on gifts for everyone in our family, nothing will buy them what we could give, will buy them the happiness of our awareness and our smile. Sylvia went on and she talked about when she was with Thich Nhat Hanh, the practice called the inner smile. And she said that at this lecture, someone said to him that your instruction is that I should smile. But what if the truth of my experience is that I'm not smiling because I don't feel happy and I don't feel pleased? And Thich Nhat Hanh said, in a wonderful way, without dismissing the question, he said, all the more reason to smile. She continued, when we smile, the body relaxes, the face relaxes. If we smile, we're at least reminding ourselves it is possible to relax. We may not now, it is possible to be pleased that even if we're not at that place now, that this time will pass and the time comes when we will be pleased. Smiling affirms the inner core of goodness. Rav Kook, who is the chief rabbi of Israel, the first chief rabbi, has this wonderful idea. He says, there's a perpetual prayer that sings in every human soul. And it tries to activate a state that pervades the entire universe. And if we smile when we pray, we activate this potential in our hearts. Smiling, though, also connects us with others in what can be a life-giving way. There's a story about Rabbi Moshe Aaron Stern, who was the mashliach of the Kmitzer Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. He was the one, the mashliach ruchani, is the one that kind of helps with your spiritual growth. And he talked about a group of shochtim, of slaughterers, who had gone to South America. They were working in one of the plants to provide kosher meat in Israel. And every evening, the owner would go through the plant, make sure that everything was okay. And one night, as he was finishing up, and he was about to lock the door, the night watchman came and said, there's still people in there, there's still people in there. And the owner was surprised. He had been everywhere in the plant. Nevertheless, he went back through and inspected again. Couldn't find anything, and the watchman said, I know that there's somebody there. Maybe something's wrong. Maybe he's in trouble. And the watchman and the owner went through a third time. They came to a big freezer, and it dawned upon the owner that it was big enough for people to be inside. He opened it up, and there were the three ritual slaughterers. They were nearly frozen. They called an ambulance. They took them to the hospital. And what happened is they had gone in to check on the meat, and the door had just banged shut on them. And if it had been just a little longer, disaster could have happened. Later, the owner asked the night watchman, "So how are you so sure that there was still somebody there?" And the watchman said, "Yeah, they've been here for a few weeks. And ever since they've been here, one of the men, every morning, he would greet me when he came in, and he would say goodbye when he left. I remembered seeing him that morning, but he didn't say goodbye at the end of the day. And I knew that he must still be there and that probably something was wrong." The owner reflected, a simple greeting, yet it had not only saved this man's life, but the lives of two others. Smile is such a precious gift. And in that spirit, I want to end with a unique translation of Psalm 27. And this is a psalm that's often done in preparation for the High Holy Days. And again, it comes from my teacher, Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi. Listen to these beautiful words. "When pressures and perspectives of a cynical world threaten to bring me down, I ride the wave of undying faith, and it lies that final drown. For one thing I ask, for one thing I long, to build your house with my life, to see the beauty in every smile and the light in every night." Shabbat Shalom.